It's Newsline on KUNR. Good morning, I'm Dan Irwin. Ever since the pioneering research by Dr. Linus Pauling, we understand that there's a critical link between chemical nutrients and successful brain function. And a lack of these nutrients leads to varying degrees of mental illness and physical illness too. But each individual's needs are different. So how does it actually work? This is National Mental Health Awareness Month. Next weekend in Truckee, there will be a workshop concerning micronutrient treatment and research for mental health. But why wait? Call us now at 784-1867. Toll free from anywhere. It's 1-866-723-KUNR. Joining me in the studio today is Dr. Daniel Smith, Doctor of Chiropractic, a specialist in chiropractic and amino acid therapy, and President and CEO of the Genessa Living Foundation. And joining us by phone is Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, PhD, a research psychologist and professor of pediatrics and community health sciences at the University of Calgary in Alberta, and she joins us from her office by phone. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Dr. Kaplan, let's start with the simple stuff. How does the brain work?
Oh, thanks. Right. How many hours do I have to display my ignorance?
I'll stop you when I'm done.
Okay, I'll give you just a brief overview of a few things that are probably most important to the topic today, Dan. Okay?
Good, excellent.
It's a funny thing that we tend not to think about what makes us work. But the reality is that every cell in our bodies and brains, every single cell is dependent upon what we put into our mouths every single day. They don't work just on air. Those are the only two things going on and going into our body, basically, air, water, and food, nutrients. There is, you know, we have the saying, we are what we eat, but it's taken for granted. And if you are not providing the cells in your body with the nutrients that are needed to work properly, you are not functioning at your optimal level. And so one thing to know about the way the brain works is that micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids are essential, have to be consumed every single day for optimal function.
Doctors,
do you want me to go give you any examples?
Yeah, why don't you do that, and then we'll go to Dr. Smith.
Okay, well, I'll give you just a very simple example that I think a lot of the lay public is familiar with. We all know that Prozac and other medications are called serotonin medications. Sometimes they're called SSRIs, and that is because they increase the amount of serotonin in the brain. But have you ever thought about how we have serotonin at all in our brains and our bodies, by the way, because an awful lot of serotonin is outside of the brain? The reality is that the reason we have neurotransmitters like serotonin is because we are consuming the building blocks of serotonin. And those building blocks are things like amino acids, and the synthesis and uptake of those amino acids in the brain are all dependent upon vitamins and minerals and other micronutrients. So to make neurotransmitters in your brain without Prozac available for brain function, you need to be consuming the micronutrients.
Is it possible to substitute a sufficient level of micronutrients for psychoactive drugs such as antidepressants?
Well, of course, those of us who are studying micronutrient treatment believe that it is, but the definitive proof is not available yet.
Dr. Smith, the brain.
One further example from what Dr. Kaplan was speaking towards regarding the neurotransmitter serotonin, which its primary function in the brain is for mood and mood stability, is that the amino acid L-tryptophan is the precursor for serotonin. It is also the most difficult amino acid to get in our daily diet. We recommend that people eat three meals a day and have approximately 20 grams of protein at each meal. And the amino acid, again, L-tryptophan, is one of the essential amino acids and a difficult amino acid to get in our food. But that said, modern science is making dramatic new discoveries about the health of the brain and nervous system. These breakthroughs are based on how naturally occurring chemicals renew and repair the brain and the nervous system. They are very important because of they assist to increase our lifespan. These micronutrients have a major effect on our sleep habits. If you're low in serotonin, serotonin is also the precursor to the neurotransmitter melatonin. And when the sun sets at night, melatonin is enhanced in the brain, and we need that melatonin for sleep. And so these micronutrients play many, many roles in human health and also in brain health.
Dr. Kaplan, could you explain a little bit about the nature of your actual research?
Sure. I'm interested in the kind of watershed year 2000. Prior to the year 2000, although I don't think a lot of the public realizes this, there has been a lot of research on single ingredients. People have done studies on the relationship between calcium and mood, other studies on the relationship between, oh, say, folate and mood, others on, you could go through a whole list of the roughly 40 micronutrients, and there's been a study on an individual micronutrient and mood. Around the year 2000, a number of us, and I'm not the only one, became interested in the idea that we need a broad spectrum of micronutrients to make the brain work. That the way we get micronutrients in nature is the proper way for optimal brain function. And the way we get those micronutrients in nature, as you know, it's in our food, and they're in combination. They're in balance and in combination. You don't get only calcium when you eat broccoli, for example. You get lots of micronutrients in every food. And they tend to occur in combinations that we have evolved to need, which is kind of nice to know. So a number of us began studying broad spectrum micronutrient treatment of mood and behavior problems. My work has been using one particular formula, but there are other studies around the world using other formulas. The one that I've been studying is the most studied anywhere on earth for physical or mental health, by the way. And it consists of 36 nutrients, 36 ingredients. There are about 11 or 12 articles now in medical journals showing improved mood stability in adults with bipolar disorder using this formula. There are studies showing relief of obsessive-compulsive disorder, improvements in things like irritability. We just published a paper in a group of people on the autism spectrum showing less irritability when they were given this broad-spectrum micronutrient treatment than when they were given standard medications. So that's where my research is focused, is on broad-spectrum interventions.
Is it ultimately necessary to take a supplement? Can you get what you need for optimum mental health simply through good diet? And the follow-up question is, are our diets not anywhere near where they are supposed to be nowadays?
You know, there's such individual differences, Dan. We have to keep that in mind. I usually use myself as an example. I eat a very good diet, but I honestly think I could eat junk food and I would have a stable mood. I've been blessed with a very stable mood. Maybe there's something in me metabolically that just doesn't need as many micronutrients for a stable mood as other people. I don't know. Sometimes when I say that to an audience and I say I never even experienced PMS, they hiss and boo. So I don't know if I want to emphasize that, but there's something about stability of mood that is in my genetic predisposition that isn't in everyone's. At the other end of the continuum, we have people who appear to be eating very, very healthy diets, and yet they still suffer a lot of mood instability. And when they take supplements on top of that, they seem to get better. And we have data to show that. So there, first of all, the first issue you have to address is this individual difference issue. So we can't generalize from one person to others. But the other thing we all know is that the nutrient depletion of our food supply is very, very concerning. And so, for example, there are data on, well, I used broccoli a minute ago, the amount of calcium in broccoli in one study was about 50% now what it was, say, roughly 50 years ago. And that's very concerning because people are told for calcium, especially if you are milk and dairy intolerant or lactose intolerant and want to get your calcium, more of it from fruits and vegetables, be sure to eat your broccoli. That's what we're told. But maybe it's not there as much as it used to be.
So you're saying that the common healthy vegetables don't have the nutrients that they did at some time in the past. And why is that?
Why is that? There are a lot of theories. The research comes from both the United States and the UK that I'm familiar with. And some of the theories simply have to do with overutilization of the soil. When the soil was first turned over, say, 200 years ago in western U.S. or up where I live, maybe 150 years ago, the micronutrients in the soil that were sucked up by the plants and then consumed by humans were much more plentiful than now because, you know, what you had was millions of years of organic matter having decomposed in that soil, as well as dinosaurs and other creatures, if you go way back, and that created a very rich soil. But if you start using that soil again and again, year after year, even unprocessed food is not going to have the density of vitamins and minerals that it did 100 years ago. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'd like to take a break now. We're going to be back in a minute. You've just heard Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, PhD, research psychologist and professor of pediatrics and community health sciences. She's joining us from her office at the University of Calgary in Alberta. We'd like to join our conversation. We're talking about micronutrients for mental health. Our number is 784-1867, toll-free from anywhere. You can call us from anywhere at 1-866-723-KUNR. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Daniel Smith, a specialist in chiropractic and amino acid therapy and president and CEO of the Genessa Living Foundation. We'll be talking about that foundation later on in the program. Right now, our number is 784-1867, and there will be next weekend, May 14th through the 16th, in Truckee, the first conference of Micronutrients for Mental Health workshop. And we'll tell you how you can get more information about that later on in the program. But we have to break away now. Give us a call, 784-1867. I'm Dan Irwin, and we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Good morning. It's 8:19. Stay tuned for the Diane Rehm Show coming up at 10. At 11 o'clock, it's Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. KUNR received support for Nevada Newsline from the Nevada Mining Association, promoting safety and education in an industry that contributes to the economic future of Nevada, online at nevadamining.org. We also get support from the Bead Store in Carson City, offering silversmithing services with over 40 years' experience in custom jewelry design, fabrication, and repair work on all sterling items. There's more than beads at the Bead Store. Details at tradebead.com.
Good morning, I'm Dan Irwin. The Newsline program today is on the topic of micronutrients and mental health. You can join our conversation by calling us at 784-1867. Toll free from anywhere, it's 1-866-723-KUNR. Just before the break, we heard Dr. Bonnie Kaplan from the University of Calgary in Alberta joining us by phone from her office. In the studio with me is Dr. Dan Smith, a specialist in chiropractic and amino acid therapy and president and CEO of the Genessa Living Foundation. Again, our number is 784-1867. Do you take supplements? How do you know which ones to take? And maybe you'd like to check in with us and give us a call on that topic. Well, Dr. Smith, I was just going to ask you to follow up on what Dr. Kaplan was saying. Everyone's different. It's hard to know exactly what balance of diet and nutrition and supplements to suggest to people. So how do you do that?
Well, it's a good question because I'm around a lot of healthcare professionals. I own an organic orchard. It is certified through the state of California, so it's CCOF orchard. And most of the healthcare professionals I know, and most of the organic people I know, don't and can't eat the quality food needed every day, year round. They may go on a, you know, people may have good habits of eating in the house and preparing their food the way that will optimize the food to maintain the highest qualities in it. But the problem is that the accessibility of food, it's so much easier to eat out. And most of the times when we eat out, we're going to be getting a degree of processed foods. And another problem is affordability. So when people go into the store, they look at the price. For the most part, the highest percentage of the consumers will look at the price, not necessarily the label. So the point is that if you were to eat a high-quality meal daily, you more than likely would get all 40 essential micronutrients that we're speaking about here from your diet. But there's a high percentage of us, including myself, that does not eat consistently daily to get that level of micronutrients.
That applies to all of us, I'm sure.
And then the other is that modern agriculture is based on production. And to get that production, they have to use fertilizer to enhance the speed of the growth of the crops. So they'll use nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium as mineral fertilizer source to enhance that growth. And in doing that, the long-term effect of that is it depletes the soil, and it depletes the holistic value of the soil.
Let's take a call from a listener. Our number is 784-1867. We're talking about micronutrients for mental health. There'll be a conference next weekend in Truckee on that very subject, mostly for professionals, but you're welcome to find out about it, and we'll give out a toll-free number for that a little bit later in the hour. Right now, let's talk to our listeners, and let's speak with Lynn in Truckee. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I have read several articles that say that organic fruits and vegetables are significantly higher in nutrients, and I'm wondering if have your guests heard the same thing? And I mean, would it be better to stick with organic and avoid standard raised stuff?
Dr. Smith?
Yeah, I can answer that. If you'll look at an article online right now called copperwiki.org, it's copperwiki.org.
Okay.
It goes into defining just that, how there are more minerals and vitamins in organic foods. And additionally, there's less pesticides. And there are current studies showing how organic foods eaten by children, that the test results of those children will not display these pesticides in their saliva or urine tests, where if they're eating commercial produce, there's very clear findings that there are pesticides found in the saliva and in the urine. What's interesting is within 3 weeks of changing a child from commercial produce to organic, is those pesticides would not be found in the tests.
Dr. Kaplan?
I think I'll defer to your other guest on this.
Okay.
Dr. Smith. I think
he answered the question very well.
Okay, thank
he has
you very
an orchard.
Much.
He's got to know more in that field than I.
Thanks for the call, Lynn. Our number is 784-1867. If you want to join our conversation, toll free from anywhere, it's 1-866-723-KUNR. And let's speak next with Betty Lou in Reno. You're on the air. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. You're on the air, please.
Yes, good morning. This is Betty Lou, and I am what's called a super senior. I'm over 80 years old. In fact, I'm closer to 90 than 80. And I find that I don't want to eat the meals I used to eat. In fact, I've been eating only two meals a day with a small snack in the middle. And I wonder if this is indicative of the age or if there's an answer to that. And also, why do I think I have to have chocolate?
Okay. I'd like to take a stab at that.
Go ahead, Dr. Kaplan.
This way, too. But first of all, Betty Lou, I am
not
a physician, but my understanding is that the research very clearly shows that we lose some of our taste sensation as we get older. And that is why, have you ever heard of the what's called the tea and toast regimen? It's a very common thing that our senior citizens live on basically tea and toast because they don't really taste much of anything. You know, if you don't taste things as strongly as when you're younger, then food is not appealing. You might also not feel hungry the same way. But here's the problem, Betty Lou. I know that it is also shown very clearly that as we age, we don't absorb the micronutrients from our food as well. So it's like you're being hit by a double whammy, and you have to fight against it. Here's the double whammy. First of all, you're not feeling hunger, and you don't find food as appealing because you don't taste it as much as you used to. So you're eating less. And then you're absorbing a lower proportion of the good stuff that's in it. So you are putting yourself at risk for poor health. And the only solution is really to force yourself to eat healthy food every day, all day, three meals a day at least, not two, and also perhaps take some supplementation if you think that's suitable.
Thanks for the call, Betty, though. I appreciate it. I'm just wondering, and I'll put this out to both of you. She mentioned a craving for chocolate, and I was wondering if, as you, Dr. Kaplan, were just saying, if you start to lose your sense of taste, whether you start to have a craving for much stronger, highly spiced or highly flavored foods just to try to get that bit of taste back.
My understanding of the cravings research is that there's a lot of individuality again. A lot of people who crave chocolate, though, are craving two things. One is the texture, because maybe they don't get as strong a flavor, but there's that really nice texture that's smooth in chocolate. And the other thing is possibly the magnesium. May be an indication that she needs more micronutrients, but I'm not sure of that.
Yeah.
Well, my comment is eat the chocolate and enjoy it. And there are chemicals in chocolate that promote and enhance a good mood. And I'm also not suggesting to further any kind of carbohydrate craving, but specifically chocolate has some chemicals in it that does increase the mood. I do want to address, though, that it's important to get preferably three meals of protein in your meal each day. And if you don't have an appetite, you might try things such as a protein shake, and use some skim milk with some protein powder, chocolate, strawberry, or vanilla. And that's one way of getting one meal in a day and get your protein. Because that protein, once it goes, once you chew it and get it into your stomach, that breaks down into amino acids. Those amino acids then get into the bloodstream. And in the bloodstream, they'll go to work to strengthen your immune system, to build strong nails, keep your skin healthy, your hair strong, and we think most importantly, balance the neurotransmitters in your brain.
Dr. Smith made some very good comments there. I'd just like to add, I would encourage Betty Lou to be eating really good real chocolate, not primarily sugar stuff
good
our children are eating.
Good point.
Good.
But those are good ideas.
Good. Well, let's take another call. Our number is 784-1867. Let's speak with Lisa in Reno. You're on Newsline. Good morning.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. From what I've heard so far, your guests have said that basically our modern food supply is depleted of nutrients, and in order to get the benefits that they're talking about, you need to take supplements. And so my question is, just a ballpark, what is the cost of the supplements for, if an individual is going to start on the regimen that they're recommending, what is the average cost per month to purchase these supplements?
That's a hard one to estimate, but
just a ballpark.
There is some cost in taking supplements.
Exactly, and I'm curious. I would imagine that the chiropractor is probably recommending certain supplements. So just give us a ballpark of what it costs per month.
I'll be honest with you on that. It's more expensive than I like to talk about. You can get it inexpensively if you go to a large chain like Costco, but you really want to look at the quality of nutritional supplements that you're taking. You can get the quality of nutritional supplements that I would approve of at health food stores, but it could cost as much as $180 a month if you were to take a complete spectrum amino acid product, a complete broad spectrum vitamin mineral, and a broad spectrum high quality omega-3, because that's what we're discussing right now is broad spectrum micronutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And they fall in the category of amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids.
Right.
And you could probably get that for around $90 a month if you shop it right. And it's not too unreasonable to get all your nutritional supplements needed, including a probiotic, which is a separate conversation here, for approximately $180 a month.
Okay. Do you sell these products in your office?
I just completed a 27-year career as a doctor of chiropractic and doing nutrition with my clients. I am now full-time working with the Janessa Living Foundation and my corporation, Janessa Incorporated. My company has one nutritional product out on the market that you can get at Whole Foods, and
okay.
it's an amino acid product.
So do you actually see individuals in your office, or are you just a full-time business owner for selling nutrition supplements?
I just completed a 27-year career seeing patients in practice, and the Janessa company has such a large demand on me now that I am doing events such as next weekend in Truckee, Micronutrients for Mental Health, where we have Dr. Bonnie Kaplan from Calgary, the University of Calgary, speaking, and Dr. Charlie Popper from McLean Hospital, which is the psychiatric hospital of Harvard. And I put on these events to educate the public, but this event specifically is to educate healthcare professionals how to use these new protocols for different mental illnesses.
So your full-time position right now is with your company, Janessa, which is selling nutrition supplements. Am I understanding that correctly?
It's to expand the Janessa company for nutritional supplements and to educate the healthcare profession with an emphasis on bringing the concepts of organic living into the healthcare and medical profession.
Okay, I see. Does the professor that's being interviewed, is she, just in full disclosure for the public, is she employed by your company?
Oh, well.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No. Actually, well, a lot of professors are, and this is a common thing in university-type settings. A lot of professors are hired as consultants for various companies,
right.
And in the spirit of full disclosure, when they're providing lectures and such on various topics, it is common to disclose financial interests in the companies that they're being employed on as consultants. And I was just wondering if the guest today was a consultant for that is being paid by the Janessa Corporation.
Well, I guess that's
anyway.
A fair question.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, it's more than fair. Lisa, I'm so glad you brought this up because I sometimes remember to say it in early on and I neglected to. I'm a full-time academic researcher. I've never been affiliated with any company and I never will be. I don't get a dime even though my research is focused on one particular formula, and it's not the one that Dr. Smith sells, by the way, or is involved with, I should say. And I am keeping all of the people who are doing the research on micronutrient treatment and mood with this formula. All of us have decided not to follow that old model of being consultants and paid for and so forth. I won't let them buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but it is, you have to admit, it is quite common for, in the academic community, for various researchers to work as, even though they're full-time professors, to work as consultants for various companies and that, and I just wanted to, I was just curious if there was any financial interest that you might have in supplement
companies.
Lisa, that's
an important question, because that's what I call the drug company model, and we've decided there are researchers in three countries right now studying a broad nutrient formula, and we have all agreed that we don't want to follow that model. None of us will ever take any money from the companies that make the formulas that we study.
Thanks so much.
Thank
for
you
the
for
call.
Bringing that
yes.
up. But yeah. may I address one other thing that Lisa brought up?
Go ahead, Dr. Kaplan.
Lisa, you began. Excuse me, one second. Sorry, you began by kind of summarizing some of what we had said, and I'm afraid that I may have been a little too black and white. I don't believe that our, and I don't think Dr. Smith believes either, that our vitamins and minerals are completely depleted from our food supply. Probably degraded would be a better term. And I hope I did not say that everyone on Earth needs to take supplements, because I don't believe that that's true. As I said, there are a lot of individual differences. So, again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to clarify that.
Very good. Well, thanks for the call, Lisa. We're going to take another call in just a minute. First of all, let me remind you that this is Nevada Newsline. We're talking about micronutrients for mental health. You just heard Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, research psychologist at the University of Calgary in Alberta. She joins us by phone from her office. And Dr. Dan Smith, a specialist in chiropractic and amino acid therapy and president of the Jeunesse Living Foundation. Give us a call. Our number is 784-1867, toll-free from anywhere. It's 1-866-723-KUNR. And let's speak with Miles in Reno. You're on the air. Hello, Miles. Are you there?
Yep.
Oh, go ahead. You're on the air. Just proceed, please.
Yeah. So I have a question about comparing the nutrition in the United States and Western societies like Europe to developing countries. And some of the recommendations made are to get a wider range of micronutrients through food or vitamin supplements. And oftentimes in some countries, in rural communities, those types of foods or vitamins aren't available. And I'm wondering if those same problems, say changes in mood or other problems with poor nutrition, are more prevalent in developing countries, and if the problems that we see here in the U.S. are sort of fine-tuning the higher end of the quality of life, or if they're really necessary adjustments in food nutrition that we need to make here.
That's a good question, Dr. Kaplan.
You raise a very interesting point, Miles, and that is what can we learn by looking across cultures? The World Health Organization has said that one year soon, it might even be this year, I'm not sure, depression will overcome cardiovascular disease as being the number one health problem in terms of burden of disease worldwide. So that tells you, first of all, that North America is not unique. As soon as you start comparing with the developing countries, though, we have so many other factors besides nutrition. Many of these countries have a lot of social and political upheaval and just plain war. In addition, environmental pollution can vary across countries. There are so many other variables that it becomes a little risky to say that the mood problems in one country reflect, you know, a certain percentage micronutrient depletion in another country, the same percentage. I'm afraid I can't go there.
It certainly is worth researching, I would think.
Certainly is. There is research with the severely malnourished. I mean, we've known for more than 50 years that if you go into South America or if you just take a North American population and deprive them of good nutrition for a while, they become lethargic and depressed, and there's decreased cognitive function. That's well documented.
Dr. Smith?
Yeah, Miles, I'd like to refer to Dr. Bruce Ames, probably one of the leading researchers in nutritional deficiencies in the world. Dr. Ames is in his 80s, and he's been researching for over 50 years at UC Berkeley and Oakland Children's Hospital on nutritional deficiencies and on micronutrients. And he shares that these 40 micronutrients are essential. Just like a plant has a need for certain nutrients, if it doesn't get those nutrients, its lifespan will be shortened. A human being, if they do not get these essential micronutrients, their lifespan, expected lifespan, will be shortened. And it'll be shortened as a result of what we call a degenerative disease, an inflammatory degenerative disease. Now, that said, Dr. Ames does clarify that the higher percentage of people that have these deficiencies are in a poorer income bracket and possibly some race. And that said also is that even a modern income, even the wealthy people who are eating well, most research I read says that up to 50% of all of us are deficient in one or more micronutrient, and it only takes one micronutrient to start a cascade of illness in the system. So your question about possible other countries, yes, they tend to have a higher effect of micronutrient deficiencies. But in our society, even with the wealth that we have, we may be eating abundantly, but not getting the quality of nutrients from the types of foods we're eating.
Thanks for the call, Miles. And we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a minute. We have a couple of people on the line waiting to get on the air. And please stay on the line. We'll get to you quickly as soon as we get back. Our number is 784-1867. And we'll be back in 1 minute.
Good morning. It's 9:42. You're listening to KUNR. Support for Nevada Newsline comes from the Nevada Farm Bureau, promoting Nevada agriculture and ranching through advocacy and education. Information and resources online at nvfb.fb.org. We also get support from Ormat Technologies, providing clean, renewable geothermal energy and sustainable employment opportunities to Nevada for more than 25 years. Information at ormat.com. KUNR welcomes Don DeRue and the Risky Biscuit Hayseed Hoot to our Saturday lineup beginning May 15th at 11 a.m. Coming up on Wednesday the 12th, we'll be celebrating with Don at the Great Basin Brewing Company's Hoot Night with live music by the Alkali Flats. That's Hoot Night, Wednesday the 12th, 7 to 10 p.m. with Don DeRue, KUNR, and the Alkali Flats at Great Basin Brewing Company on Victorian Square in Sparks. Details at greatbasinbrewingco.com.
Dan Irwin back with Nevada Newsline. Dr. Daniel Smith and Dr. Bonnie Kaplan are my guests today. Dr. Smith in studio, Dr. Kaplan from her office at the University of Calgary in Alberta. Our number is 784-1867 if you want to get on the air. And we've been talking about a conference. It's the first Micronutrients for Mental Health workshop next weekend, May 14th through the 16th, at the Cedar House Sport Hotel in Truckee. And if you want more information about it or to pursue some of the things that we've been talking about, here's the toll-free number for you, 1-866-397-2209. Let's take a call right now and speak with Carol in Reno. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, and I want to let you know that I'm thoroughly enjoying this program, as I do many of your programs.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm in my early 60s, and I've been taking supplements for many years, and right now I'm taking a very high-quality supplement from a consumer direct company. I was just looking at the supplement facts, and it has lots of micronutrients in it, calcium and magnesium and zinc, along with the ABCs and Ds, the ABCs. I'm comfortable with that. My question is about the need to have three meals a day and protein. For my whole life, I've been terrible about getting three meals a day in. I skip lunch. I'm not working right now, but when I'm working in an office, I almost always skip lunch. So what I've done recently is always have a lot of almonds sitting around, and when I'm walking through the kitchen, I grab a handful of almonds. And I'm wondering if that kind of eating is sufficient for getting the amount of protein that we need to get in our daily diet.
Go ahead.
According to Julia Ross, the author of the book The Mood Cure, a best-selling text internationally, and she's recognized as a leader and authority in the world in nutritional psychology. Julia states that we need 3 meals a day with approximately 20 grams of protein in each meal. The thing about the neurotransmitters in the brain is there's really only one precursor to them, and that is amino acids. Amino acids are the precursors to all of the neurotransmitters and in the brain and in the central nervous system. A lot of these degenerative diseases, including neurodegenerative diseases, they're slow. They're insidious. They take 20 or 40 years to develop.
Like Alzheimer's.
Yeah. They don't happen in a week. So and that's why some people will take some of these supplements, and some people know the experience of a mood difference or an energy difference. Some people don't. Nutritional supplements are not a medication. They are not designed so that when you take them, that it's going to put out a symptom or a fire.
Or reverse damage.
So we're talking about nutritional benefits as a result of the research that's out there now claiming that 50% of us are missing at least one micronutrient as a result of not having a proper diet. I personally do not eat 3 meals every day. I try to, but I'm sometimes too busy. I forget. Sometimes I have poor habits, and I'm not like the most of us. Most people will skip breakfast and eat their largest meal will be at dinner. So keep eating your almonds. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw a couple of grapes in there and maybe a small piece of cheese, okay? And that's what I would have to say.
So the point is to make sure that you have 3 meals a day that have the food groups.
That is correct.
Okay. They don't have to be big meals, but you need to eat 3 times a day to keep the nutrients going in your body? Is that?
That is correct. And some of my clients will take the free-formed complete blend of an amino acid so that they get all these amino acids if they just can't eat breakfast or they just can't eat lunch. Or some children will not eat protein.
Uh-huh.
So I will educate the family to take Total Amino Solution is my company's product, or some other free-formed amino acid product where those amino acids get into the bloodstream to do their work.
I see. So that could be a supplement for a meal?
No, I really don't like to promote that, and sometimes that's just the way it has to happen, correct.
Okay, so it would be good to have some of that along with a small meal.
Yes, that's another way of looking at it. If you took a free-formed amino acid product along with a fruit snack, that would be very beneficial.
Okay, helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Carol. Our number is 784-1867, toll-free from anywhere, 1-866-723-KUNR. Let's move on and speak with Steve in Hawthorne. You're on the air.
Okay, so it would be good to have
Steve? You need to turn off your radio.
Yes, that's another way of looking.
Hello?
Hello, Steve. You need to turn off your radio so you'll hear us.
Yeah, I just turned it off.
Okay,
thank you.
You'll be fine now. Go ahead, please.
Okay. This is Steve from Hawthorne. I wanted to – you answered the question with the Mood Cure with the book you recommend. Does this give specifics in terms of how much foods we take of this food or that food that we can take, like during a week, maybe some specific guidelines? And my second question was, vegetables, even though they are less nutritious, are always better than processed foods. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, Steve. First, Dr. Kaplan.
Well, I really only want to comment on the second one. I'm not a dietitian. I'm a research psychologist.
Fine.
But I certainly can concur with the second point that Steve made, is that whole foods are always better than processed foods. And we could give a long list of reasons. It's not only what isn't in the processed food, it's what has been added, which is clearly not good for us. But Dr. Smith probably has more to comment on this.
Okay.
Julia Ross's book, The Mood Cure, does have recipes in it, and it's a great book. I encourage people to read that. In my private practice, I would have mothers coming in talking about their daughters or their sons, and I would give the book to their daughter or son. They would read that book, and it would absolutely change their outlook on life, the way they ate, and their mood, and in many cases, mild to moderate depression, just by reading the book and following some of the examples she makes. The U.S. Dietary Guidelines were just released in April, the 2010 version of the U.S. Dietary Guidelines. They change them every 5 years. They try to update them. And so I recommend you look and do a search on U.S. Dietary Guidelines for a balanced diet.
Dr. Smith, I have a question about dietary supplements that you can buy commonly at the store. I heard a story, probably on National Public Radio, which is where I hear everything, about ascorbic acid, vitamin C, and how the market had been undersold globally by China so that domestic companies can't continue to produce making vitamin C and selling it at a profit. And so all the vitamin C comes from China now.
I'm not familiar with that, but a lot of the nutritional supplements are produced and manufactured and shipped over from China.
So how do you know what you're going to get?
Do your homework and see a qualified healthcare professional who understands micronutrients and read.
Sage advice. Let's move on and speak with Marge in Reno. You're on the air. Marge, could you turn off your radio, please?
Off.
Okay, now you can hear me, okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go ahead, please.
I was wondering if there is a certain diet for arthritis, and I never had any arthritis in my life, but it's gone into my back. It's not osteoporosis. It's caused by arthritis. And then I had I have a knee that started giving me trouble, and they x-rayed that and found that that's arthritis too, and now the other one's starting to act up. I cannot figure out what is the matter, because I've always, you know, up until the age I was 70, I had not a thing wrong with me, and then all of a sudden everything's kind of moving in. and then also on the right side, which these things are mainly, I had a twisted or a broken rotator cuff, which they could not operate on because it was, well, I don't know, I guess it was too jagged or something. I don't know why they couldn't, but they could not. So anyway, I need some sort of a diet that can go after this arthritis.
I'll defer to Dr. Smith on this one.
I think that's an excellent
back
idea.
Number one is, I would, if you can go online, I would Google the National Arthritis Foundation and look at their recommendations.
We got cut off here.
Okay. Number one is, I would go to the National Arthritis Foundation and look at their dietary recommendations. Number two is, omega-3 fatty acids are very well researched and known to reduce inflammation, so I would make sure you have a high quality omega-3. The third is that endorphins are our natural morphine for pain reduction in our body, and you can build your endorphins by having your protein. Now, some people at your age may not break down protein very well, so you might want to be drinking a protein shake, because these endorphins require 15 or more amino acids to build these endorphins. So you can actually build up your own natural pain-relieving chemical in your body by having quality protein. That said, is reduce sugar, eat more quality foods, vegetables and fruits, reduce your meat intake, because those recommendations I just made all help to reduce inflammation. And the last thing I would...
Meat protein, though?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, repeat that, please.
Isn't meat protein?
It is, but you want to reduce the red meat consumption. So you want
the
to get
red meat.
You
oh,
want to get
right.
it from chicken, turkey, and fish.
Fish, yes.
Okay.
The red meat has a tendency, it's very challenging on the body, and it's pro-inflammatory. Last two things is, according to the National Arthritis Foundation, water therapy, pool therapy, is the best exercise to reduce pain and increase mobility of the joints for somebody who has arthritis. And the last thing is, if you're hurting a lot, I would see your medical doctor, and I might suggest even that you have a pain medication to help reduce the pain.
Well, the neurological orthopedic surgeon on my back, I had three people on my back, and he said, if you can get by, he doesn't want to operate, obviously, at my age, apparently. He said to take the two Vicodin a day, and then he says, go ahead and take the two Aleve that you say you do at night. So I know Vicodin causes constipation, so I only take one a day.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're not going to prescribe over the air, okay?
Get a good heating pad. Heating pads are great. And use a heating pad for 20 minutes a day.
Thanks for the call, Marge. Dr. Kaplan, in the couple of minutes we have remaining, what are you looking forward to happening at next week's conference?
Well, my role at next weekend's conference is to provide the research context for the health professionals who are there. There is, I think, a great deal of skepticism out there because there are wild claims that are not based on research. So I'll be presenting the research that's going on worldwide on micronutrient treatment of mental issues. The other people who are there are going to be dealing with actual clinical applications. That includes Dr. Smith and Dr. Popper, so maybe I should let Dr. Smith comment on that.
Okay.
Well,
just a general preview of next week.
I have the role of talking about amino acids and their effect on the brain and mental health. And I know Dr. Popper will be has a wonderful presentation. He'll be speaking for about 6 hours. He's very, very well known around the world in his work with psychiatry and pharmaceutical medications with children. And Dr. Popper is a keen expert in the world right now on micronutrients for mental health.
Well, Dr. Smith and Dr. Kaplan, I'd like to thank you both so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Bonnie Kaplan is a research psychologist and professor of pediatrics and community health sciences at the University of Calgary in Alberta, where she joined us by phone. Dr. Dan Smith is a specialist in chiropractic and amino acid therapy. For information about the conference, May 14th through the 16th in Truckee, the toll-free number is 1-866-397-2209. Nevada Newsline was directed today by Dana O'Connor. The executive producer of the program is David Stipik. And for KUNR, I'm Dan Irwin.